Going to look at some very important words that the Apostle Paul has for the Ephesians. These words come at the end of the letter to the Ephesians, and I believe that they are important words for us too. Right now we are, this is almost August, we're about 7 months, 8 months into our initiative on Scrappy Church. There's a lot of big ideas that are going to greatly add to our ministry. Teams and our staff are working right now on our first initiative, Welcome Readiness. We just had a great VBS, and we've had a new ministry emerge this year that it's been awesome to see this grow and blossom. It's called The Vine, V-I-N-E, The Vine, and it is our young adults ministry, and there's a lot of stuff happening with that. They are right now doing some work down in the fellowship hall to make a space for themselves, and they're looking forward to having a monthly young adults worship right here at First Reformed, down in our fellowship hall. And it's awesome to see the enthusiasm and to see the excitement that they have over Jesus and serving Him with all of their hearts. It's awesome to see. God is here. God is active, and God is guiding, and He has a sovereign plan for us. And I look forward to seeing where He takes us. Now, let's see this morning what the Word of God has to say to the Ephesians and to us. So let's pray, and then we're going to have the Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. You're welcome to grab a pew Bible, to grab one of your own, the Bible that you brought, and we'll also have the words on screen. Gracious God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for all of the mission aviation people that have come to Oshkosh. We thank you for their stories. We especially thank you this morning for Jonathan and the work that he does. Lord, I'm sure that there's, for many, a longing to really move to a location, get to know that location, dig in deep, and really connect. But that hasn't been Jonathan's call. Rather, you've placed him to go from place to place and to serve where he's most needed, to fill the gaps. And Lord, we thank you for giving him the heart to do that, to go into the very hard places. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless him as he continues to serve you in so many different ways. And Lord, we ask for help here too at First Reformed as we think about our scrappy church initiative and our mission to reach out to our communities right here at home. Lord, give us guidance as we walk with you and your sovereign plans. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what Paul says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord. Facing pressure, dealing with conflict, dealing with assaults, facing stress, gossip, enemies, even facing our own sins and addictions, we are reminded that Christianity is not a walk in the park. We're going to have some awesome, awesome days. But we're also going to be facing some challenges too. Especially as we pick up momentum with Scrappy Church and try out new things and have new initiatives that we start. We're going to face challenges. How do you react? How do you react with pressure, stress, conflict, those kinds of things? When trouble brews, what is your reaction? Maybe for you, Maybe for you, you decide to shrink back, to stay home, to take yourself out of the equation, to stay uninvolved. You can't and won't handle it. So you walk out. You walk out like I did at my first job. I know there used to be a Hardee's here in town, and Hardee's was my first job. And I got increasingly annoyed with management there as a young 16-year-old. And there was one day I just decided to throw in the towel. I didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't tell anybody I was leaving. I just turned and walked out the door and got in my car and drove home. I just left. Maybe that's how you handle stuff when it comes to stress. On the other hand, maybe for you, you go on the offensive. You say, I'm strong. I can withstand the assaults. I can take it, and I can dish it back. I can take the stress. I can control the situation. I can handle it all. Paul's message here is for those who are shackled by fear, who shrink back. But I think his message is also for those who trust in their own power, who try to stand on their own. All of us must be aware that there's more going on than we think. What we're talking about here is spiritual warfare, and it is no small matter. When you shrink back, you are left paralyzed, inactive, unuseful. Maybe you call that a bench warmer. For those that are relying on their own strength, you'll end up being left exhausted, overwhelmed, maybe even bitter, and perhaps vengeful at others. Paul tells the Ephesians, and us too today, that we must do things differently. We must do things differently. This is how we're to do things differently. We are to fully rely on the power of God and live in His strength. We must fully rely on the power of God and live in His strength. It's a battle call to arms. Not from our own strength, but strength derived from the Lord. Like I said, we've started some new initiatives, and we've got a whole laundry list of different things that are going to be coming very soon in August that I'm excited about. And it's very likely that we will meet tension, that we will meet trouble. And it might even increase as we try to walk along the narrow path. What Paul's telling us here is we're not just going to be dealing with stubborn people, or just dealing with people with bad intentions, or just dealing with prideful people, or just dealing with controlling people. No, what we are really facing is much greater than that. We are facing the assaults of the powers of darkness. These things that happen and might happen in the future that set us off, that provoke us to revenge, these are darts from Satan's hands, who attacks and wounds from hiding. We are in a battle with the evil one. So don't imagine, even for a second, that by your own power, you can withstand these assaults. That you can do it with your own strength. Paul says, no, No, you must. You must put on the full armor of God. Well, what does that mean, putting on the full armor of God? I believe that it means to clothe yourself with Christ. To clothe yourself with Jesus. We're talking about our union to Christ, that we are united to Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. This happens because we live our lives in faith. We have faith and trust in Jesus. And because of that, we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit unites us to the Son, unites us to Jesus, so that we are connected to Him with a connection that will never be broken, never taken away. We are with Christ. That's what it means to put on the full armor of God, to be united to Jesus, to fully rely on Him and His power. You know, it is Christ who conquered Satan on the cross. And it is in Christ and in Christ alone that all of the strongholds of Satan will be destroyed in our lives. We're talking about addictions and unforgiveness and bitterness and unhealthy patterns, fear and anxiety, pride, arrogance, deception, lies, sexual immorality, anger, hatred, idolatry. These will be taken care of by Jesus. We can't do them on our own. It's in Christ. It's in Christ that the gates of hell will not prevail against us, against the church. Again, this is no small battle. It's not just against flesh and blood. It's not just simple arguments and hurt feelings. But the forces of darkness, the demonic forces that are in this world and the heavenly realms, it's what we're up against. But Jesus has the upper hand. He is the one that has defeated Satan on the cross. And it's in Him that we live and breathe and have our being. So, put on the full armor of God. Your union with Christ. Being clothed with Christ. So that when the day of evil comes, we're talking about pressure, we're talking about conflict, we're talking about assaults, stress, gossip, enemies, sin, addictions. Put on Christ so that you may be able to stand your ground. And after everything, still be standing. Now, in this text, Paul relates everything that we just talked about to battle armor. Number one, Paul talks about the belt of truth wrapped around your waist. Having the belt of truth wrapped around your waist. You know, I heard a story earlier this week about empathy. In our society today, when people talk about having empathy, having compassion for others, the idea is that you jump in fully with the people that are dealing with trouble. You jump in all the way and you hold hands with them and you join them in their suffering. You support them 100%. You dive in with both feet. Now, imagine for a second that you have some great empathy for people that are dealing with an addiction. Now, we know that people that are dealing with addiction, it's like they're in quicksand, right? They've gone off the path, and they've fallen into some quicksand. And They're stuck in that. To have empathy today in our society means jumping in the quicksand with them and being with them and understanding their point of view and you know, just really embracing them. But what happens if you jump in the quicksand with them? Well, you're stuck there too, with no way out. Wearing the belt of truth says that we do things different. Instead of jumping into the quicksand with them, when we talk about empathy and compassion in the Christian church, the picture that we have is that we walk up to the quicksand, but we don't just jump in with them to be with them in their misery. Instead, we'll grab some roots over here, and we'll do what we can to grab a hold and to help rescue them from the evil that they're in and to pull them back to safety. That is what empathy and compassion is for a Christian. If you want to talk about this in terms of truth, we believe that God's truth is absolute and it is unchanging. The version that we have from our society today is the idea of relative truth. And this idea of truth changes according to what society thinks or according to what individuals think. They're like, oh, this is my truth, but that can be your truth. And we're like, I don't know what kind of nonsense you're talking about, but we believe that there is absolute truth. There's only the truth of God and His sovereign will. That's it. And that's what we grasp onto. And when we have empathy and compassion, we will hold on to God's word and we will rescue people from destruction. So we need to be wearing that belt of truth. Truth is absolute, not relative. Number two, Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, with faith and trust in Jesus, we have been given an incredible gift. We don't have a righteousness of our own, but we have Christ's righteousness. And because we have been justified by Christ's righteousness, we can now live a sanctified life. This means that we are now, because of our connection to Jesus, we are set apart to live lives of integrity, to have zeal for the Lord's holiness, and to do what is right. We're connected to Jesus. We have His righteousness. And now, because we are justified by His work on the cross, we can now live for Him. So we put that on. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, Paul talks about having feet fitted with readiness from the gospel. Being ready to move, being ready to leap, being able to pivot, doing what it takes to fulfill our call to spread the gospel. I don't know if my wife was ready for it or not, but there was a day when we were talking and I said, you know what? I wonder if I'm being called to go to seminary. I didn't really even know what seminary was. I didn't have any kind of concept or picture that you would get, you would go to a place and get theological education. You would learn about God's word, get trained to be a pastor. I didn't really know what it was about, but I thought, you know, maybe I'm called to that. I had just a little bit of exposure to it, and I was ready to take the leap. I was ready to jump in. I guess I've jumped out of an airplane. I'm ready to leap. And number three here, we're all called to have feet fitted with readiness from the gospel. Be ready to jump. Be ready to leap. To spread the gospel. To live it. To be living sacrifices. Number four, Paul talks about having the shield of faith. You know, we can turn to Christ to resist temptation. We can lean into faith when the flaming arrows come at us. Rather than striking back, rather than taking revenge, we can lean into our faith in Christ. And doing so is putting on the shield of faith so that we are not left uncovered and burned. Our faith will quench all of the flaming arrows. And with faith, we will keep our eyes on Jesus. Number five, put on the helmet of salvation. I think this one lines up well with Scripture that talks about the renewing of your mind so that no longer are you stuck in the old ways of the old men and women that you used to be, but now, in Christ, you're a new creature, new men and new women, renewing of your mind, aligned now, not with your will, but with God's, having that new attitude that we talked about a few weeks ago. Number six, having the sword of the Spirit. Well, we're talking about the very Word of God. The Word of God is highly effective against all of Satan's schemes. The Word of God, spoken off of our lips, memorized. This is how we go up against Satan and all of his schemes. And now, after hearing about all of these different pieces of armor that we're called to put on, finally, Paul talks about what the catalyst to all of this is. How does all of this get started in our lives? And how does it continue? What's our first step? And what will we continue to do over and over and over again as we put on Jesus, as we have this union with him, and as we put on all of these different helmets and shields and swords, what is it that will keep us sustained and keep us going in all of this? Paul says it's by praying continually. By praying continually. All kinds of prayers and requests, praying for each other, and praying for your leaders, too. We must be a house of prayer, consistent, persevering in prayer. God's soldiers pray. The church, it prays, and then prays some more. This is spiritual warfare against the forces of darkness, against Satan, with God's power in Christ. As we close here, have you been praying about our scrappy church initiatives? Have you been praying that God's hand works mightily here among us at First? We are called to stand in God's mighty power. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for speaking to the Apostle Paul and bringing us these words that he had for the Ephesians. We know that they are for us too. And we know that it is the truth. We're not just up against flesh and blood, but we're really in a battle against Satan. But Lord, through your Son Jesus, the battle is already won, and we are so grateful for that. So Lord, help us to live into your Son Jesus. Help us to put on the full armor so that we can extinguish all the flaming arrows that are sent by the evil one. Gracious God, today I also lift up a dear friend of mine, Pastor John from Brandon. Lord, recently he has been diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer, and he starts chemo treatments tomorrow. Lord, all of this is I'm sure sinking in now. When I first talked with him, I'm sure it was he was in shock. But Lord, I'm sure it's hitting hard now. Lord, we pray that you give him strength through your son Jesus by faith. Lord, keep him strong as he deals with chemo treatments. And Lord, we pray for healing for him. Lord, I recently heard from another friend that he was just diagnosed with a very tough disease, one that gets progressively worse and worse and worse as time goes on, and medications get less and less and less effective. Lord, I pray your blessing upon him too, that you keep him strong. Lord, we also lift up Jim, Marshall's brother. We pray that he continues to do well after his bypass surgery this last week. Lord, we have many other prayers that we lift up to you this morning, each from our own hearts. And Lord, we are so thankful that you hear them, that you are mindful of us, that you care for us, that you love us. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.